Tom Donnelly of the American Enterprise Institute writing in the Weekly Standard under the title The Hegel Opportunity. And Tom, I'm struck by the lack of the use of that word that you use, that word opportunity, in the first line of your piece. I have not heard a lot of people talking about that in the departure of Secretary Hegel. The resignation, you write, of Defense Secretary Hegel creates a golden opportunity for the new Republican majority in Congress. What is the opportunity that Republicans in the 114th Congress can take as a result of Secretary Hegel's departure? Thanks for being on today, Tom.
No, my pleasure to be with you. I mean, there are two opportunities. One is sort of domestic and political, but I think a larger opportunity is substantive and relates to trying to create a conversation about American foreign and security policy, which desperately needs to happen. So whatever one thinks of Hegel, pro or con, this is going to be an event. The eyes of the nation will be focused on, or some of the nation at least, will be focused on hearings to confirm his successor, whoever that may be. And that should be an ideal opportunity, not simply to review all the problems and failures of the past 6 years, but to talk about how to fix them.
The dynamic of that confirmation hearing to me, it will potentially be very striking, I think. You write, the confirmation hearings will also naturally focus on Senator John McCain in line to take the gavel as chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, but it's much deeper than that. Senator McCain was highly, highly critical of his former and potentially future friend, Senator Hegel, and now Secretary Hegel, after his confirmation hearings about 2 years ago. Senator McCain, of course, was the opponent of President Obama in the 2008 presidential election. So there are a lot of things going on here underneath the surface that may or may not impact what we can expect to see at a confirmation hearing. Is that fair to say, do you think?
I do think it's fair to say. Look, Senator McCain has made his political reputation as a gadfly, as a provocateur. And now, 10 years or so after his campaign, he has an opportunity again to be a national figure, a kind of senior statesman sort of figure, which would be, different for him, to put it mildly, and not merely to stand on the outside and hurl thunderbolts, but to propose a positive alternative, to say, okay, here's where we are, both in the sense of the wars that we're embroiled in, but also in the institutional DoD, Pentagon, military sense, which arguably is the worst problem of all, or the largest problem of all. So he has a great opportunity, and to see Senator McCain as somebody who could stand in for the reasonable man might seem like a stretch of the imagination, but the situation is such that if he were to play that role, he could play an incredibly positive role, which would, I think, have partisan advantage, or domestic political advantage for the Republicans. I mean, it's good small P politics as well, but it's also a chance to do well by doing good.
Why should the confirmation hearing for the next Secretary of Defense encompass all of that and not just be a review of the qualifications of the man or woman that President Obama nominates for that job, Tom?
Well, I think this is, again, a case where the particulars of the case are going to push it. Already, Senator Jack Reed has taken himself out of consideration. Last night, Michelle Flournoy took herself out of consideration. So it will be in the nature of the nominee. It's beginning to look, and it's sort of predictable, that he himself will not necessarily be some well-known substantial figure in American political life. So rather than talking about personality, we'll be talking about policy. I think, again, we'll, but the situation will tend to push the conversation in that direction. So, again, I think those are circumstances that militate towards a solution that fit well with the opportunity.
Tom Donnelly of the American Enterprise Institute writing about the Hagel opportunity for President Obama and for the Republican Congress, particularly the Congress. And you write, given how Hagel loyally stuck to the White House line both on defense budget and war-related matters, he may be hard to replace. Why would he be hard to replace? And I might take a little bit of issue in the memo that we're learning about from Secretary Hagel to the National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, wondering exactly what was going on and where the policy was regarding ISIS in the Middle East.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, that was a relatively recent memo. So it is definitely a piece of evidence of Hagel, but it's an internal memo. I mean, even though it got leaked and stuff, but I think it was broadly fair to say that Hagel was a good soldier. He did what he was asked. He defended the policy he was asked. He's been the guy who's been responsible for reducing the military over the last couple of years and trying to figure out how to do that. Do the least damage possible. I do think that over the course of time, he probably had a change of heart. He saw the effects of these cuts, and it is fair to say that when he was nominated, the ISIS war was not on the radar screen, to put it euphemistically. So he could fairly say that things have changed since his since he was originally nominated. But what hasn't changed is the White House policy. We don't see any indication that the president wants to make a substantial shift in course. Again, this is not like bringing in Bob Gates in 2006 to be the front man for the Iraq surge, which was a reversal of policy in the course of on the part of the Bush administration. So that analogy is pretty, does not hold. But again, if you get sort of a moderate, more functionary kind of a candidate, there won't be any point in trying to play gotcha at the hearings. So it's, again, just an opportunity to have a long overdue conversation, and particularly for the loyal opposition party to offer not merely a critique, but an alternative. They now control both houses of Congress. There will be a budget resolution that passes both houses of Congress. The Republican budget resolution of last year staked out a substantial increase in defense spending, and then they have an opportunity to go one better. Again, they can say things have changed dramatically. Vladimir Putin has continued to invade Ukraine. The Middle East is a mess. And despite the climate change treaty with China, we're still worried about their military buildup and their aggressive behavior in the Western Pacific. So there's plenty of rationale and plenty of issues to talk about. Again, with a non-confrontational personality, it may be easier to do so. And just to go to the final point, with Senator Reid and Michelle Flournoy already withdrawing their names from consideration, that begins to tell you how difficult this job is going to be to fill. It's a pretty unappealing situation. Sure, you're going to be Secretary of Defense, but policymaking is held very tightly by a small group in the White House, and all previous Secretaries of Defense, not just Hagel, but Leon Panetta and Bob Gates, all complained about micromanagement from the White House and not being listened to. So, again, unless the president and his core advisors decided they need a big change, it's going to continue to be a bit of a dog's life for the for the secretary.
Final thought, Tom. You mentioned at the end of this piece, the bipartisan National Defense Panel has already charted a path to adequately provide for America's armed forces by returning to the defense spending levels charted in 2011 under the last budget prepared by then Defense Secretary Robert Gates. Tuesday, the House Armed Services Committee will hear from Michelle Flournoy and Eric Edelman, both members of the National Defense Panel. They'll discuss their assessment of the 2014 QDR. Is there something we should pay attention to, do you think, at that hearing? Maybe from the members of the HASC, especially if the new chairman, Mac Thornberry, has an extended opening statement or questions for those witnesses. Is there something we can take away from that that might give us some cues about what to expect from the 114th Congress on defense spending?
I got a little bit of a dog in this fight. I did some work for the panel, helping them put their report together. But I really do think that it will end up being sort of the common sense, bipartisan establishment alternative to the administration's policies and budgetary plans. Again, Michelle Flournoy, somebody who was, at least in the press, considered as a Hagel replacement. And I think probably one of the things that would have made her a less attractive candidate in White House terms was her participation in and enthusiastic support for the panel's recommendations, which were, if nothing else, again, both a criticism of past policy, but a sketch of what a substitute would be. So in some senses, the NDP report is the answer that already exists. And so I think that even though it sort of came out in the dead of summertime, it may prove the more or less bipartisan objective measuring stick of where we need to go that politicians of both parties may rally to, including Hillary Clinton.